Welcome to the Town of Bolton Board of Selectmen meeting Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026, 6:30 p.m. at Bolton Town Hall and Zoom. First, I'd like to call this meeting to order, and then I'd like to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, if you're able.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everybody. Now we'll move on to number three. Is there any public comment? I don't see any here. Is there any online? I don't see any hands. Is there any public comment? Is there any public comment? Nope. We'll move on to update from Amplify.
Hi, everybody. My name is Ashley Pereira. Slight correction there. I'm not from Amplify. That's okay. So Brittany Whiteley is a partner for the Bolton Prevention Council from Amplify, so unfortunately couldn't join us tonight. But really, the request is regards to just giving a quick update on the Bolton Prevention Council. Just again, recognizing that our partnership with the town and the Board of Selectmen in general is a really critical component to that. And we also have some new board members. So I thought it might also just be helpful to give an introduction to us if you're not familiar, and then also give some updates on recent developments and kind of where we're heading from here. So just first and foremost, so the coalition, we're heading into our fourth year of existence. So we're still very much in the fledgling stages, but we've done a lot of really great work over the last few years. The coalition was founded really around recognizing the need for supporting mental health and substance use prevention within the town of Bolton under the direction essentially from the Governor's Prevention Committee, as well as the Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services for the state. So the town or the state is divided up into different regions. So the Regional Behavioral Health Action Organization for Bolton is Amplify, which is what Brittany Whiteley is employed by. And they're really designed, again, to support the towns within their regions around anything and everything, mental health and substance use prevention, kind of to complement the treatment side of work, which naturally is really critical for folks who might be struggling within those areas. So my background, I am a lifelong Bolton resident, born and raised and never left. I'm a licensed clinical psychologist by training. I oversee Natuck Hospital out in Mansfield, so a psychiatric hospital, very much in that treatment realm. And then I got pulled in and asked to support developing a coalition in the town of Bolton, again, in recognition that prevention work and really investing in prevention is what supports folks who ideally don't need to reach the point of them needing treatment, because we can primarily support them through prevention efforts, education, connection with different resources, et cetera. So we support the full age range, so adolescent, pediatric, and adult populations, really anything and everything within the town. So since our inception, we've received a little over $20,000 in grant efforts through the state, as well as through federal grants that have implemented a number of different resources throughout the town. So those have been different initiatives like offering Narcan training, getting folks certified to offer question, persuade, refer, which is a form of suicide prevention training for the layperson to really understand. You see somebody that you're concerned about, how do you ask the appropriate questions to understand if they do need help, and then connect them with those resources where they're needed. Additional funds have gone towards doing surveys. So that's a really critical area, recognizing what the specific needs of our residents and town people are, to also include employees who are employed by the town, whether that's in the schools, within town, different disciplines and departments, et cetera. So back in 2023, we did our first survey. That was the Youth Voices Count survey, very commonly used in a number of towns across the state. And it asks a number of different questions around both mental health and substance use components. And what that does is it really gives us the opportunity to pare down on not just what is state data and federal data telling us, but what are the children in Bolton schools telling us they need more of, or where their biggest risk areas are. So I just wanted to highlight some of the specific areas within those findings back in 2023. First, I really want to recognize the administration who helped support getting students in the schools. They did it during the school rate, and we got a 90% response rate. So when you think about any survey, if you've ever done any surveying, that is unheard of.
Yeah.
And specifically for the Youth Voices Count survey, that is the highest response rate they have ever gotten on their survey. So just a really strong recognition to the administration that supported us in doing that, that allowed that to happen, because it gave us an almost perfect window into what kids are saying. Recognizing, of course, kids are going to censor themselves. There's probably a bit of bias happening there. But obviously, we use confidence intervals and a number of other statistical analyses to really understand the relevance of the data that we're seeing. But within that, the key areas of opportunity that were recognized is around gaming, social media use. So some things a little bit kind of sometimes seen outside of the mental health and substance use umbrella, but very, very heavily connected under that addiction branch. And as we can all recognize, many of us, perfect timing, I planned that, are very much connected to our phones, to the point that it can really be a negative impact on us. So thank you for your contribution. So I think that's a really important thing for us to think about. That is a huge area of impact for our children too, because we were not born in a time when phones were quite at the caliber of existence that they are now. We became used to that. And there's still many, many adults who struggle with that. But the youth of today are quite literally born witnessing everybody around them connected to their cell phones. And there's been study after study that's indicated the risks associated with that around connection, around seeing folks kind of posting these highlight reels on social media that are not at all accurate representations of their lives and the impacts that that can have. So we're seeing that within our own youth in town and the impact that that's having. Anxiety levels, 18% of the students, this is grade 6 through 12, indicated that they felt anxious nearly 100% of the time over the last year.
Sounds like a lot.
Sure is. So anxiety levels are high. Keep in mind, again, so this was done in 2023, thinking back about the impacts of COVID around social isolation and anxiety levels causing major uptick in those. So they all scored, for the folks who answered that 18%, either a 4 or a 5 on a 1 out of 5. Question. Similarly, 15%, we asked about self-harm, 15% considered self-harm sometime in the last year. So we define that as any form of non-suicidal, self-injurious injury or behaviors. So things like cutting, burning, headbanging, number of different behaviors that, again, are concerning. So again, when we think about that percentage, 15% of kids in Bolton between the grades of 6 and 12 indicated that they had thoughts about that. An additional 10% indicated that they have thoughts of suicide within the past year. Those are pretty significant numbers. They're pretty well paralleled with state and federal data when asked similar questions. They're in a normal range, and 10% of youth in this town, and we can quantify that when we had 350 students taking this survey. So 35 students, children in our town, indicated in the last year they thought about ending their lives. So those are the folks that we really want to reach. And we can do that through our own impact, our own presence in the school system. But we also know one of the best ways to reach kids is through the adults that are in their lives, their coaches, their teachers, their parents. Those are their number one supports. And so part of our work is also educating parents. How the heck do I talk to my kids about this? How do I ask them those questions? Same thing around substance use. So how do I have a conversation with my kid? What sorts of rules should I be setting? What about the substances that I partake in as a legal adult that I don't want them to have access to? So those are all different things that we can engage with parents around. So I brought a whole goodie bag of stuff that I can pass around after. But just some examples of that. Lock bags. So these can be really great for folks. These were specifically designed to secure cannabis or weed. So for folks who are using different sorts of cannabis substances, might be completely legal for them, but we don't want kids having access to them. So this is a lockable bag that they can keep their stuff in so that if they want to partake responsibly and legally, they can keep it in their home, but keep it away from minors. Same concept for medication lock boxes. So through one of the grants that we got last year, we were able to order a significant number of these lock boxes. Really secure way, again, not certainly foolproof. Somebody wants to get into this bad enough, they certainly can, but it creates an additional barrier, an obstacle for somebody to get to them in a moment of high distress, where maybe if somebody hears somebody trying to get into it, or it takes them so long to get into the box that it might have slowed down that thought process that maybe they will not act on what those thoughts might be in the moment. So these are things that are completely free to residents. Anybody who wants one, we have them, we can distribute them. And we've given out many of the lock boxes specifically. These bags are new this year. So these ones are a little newer to distribute, but the lock boxes were really popular last year and continue to be a resource. Currently, we stock them at the school. So for any, they're with the nurse. So for any child who maybe there is a concern about substance use, or again, I oversee a psychiatric hospital, we're discharging children back to school districts. We partner with schools around that work and we say, hey, nurse, just so you know, we're sending every child home with one of these lock boxes so their parent has access to that. The nurse received them. They check with the parents, hey, did you guys get a lock box? Yeah, but we could use another one. Here, you can have one. Immediately accessible through the grant work that we've been able to do. So those have been some really great tangible things that we've been able to offer.
You should have a little spot on there that says where you put your own little picture and it says, we love you.
Yeah. So the ones that are usually stocked, this is just a sample one, but we stuff these with a number of different resources and we put one of the Prevention Council stickers on it that also has more information about us so we can be a continuous resource, not just a one-to-ten box access. So those are just a couple examples. And then this year, so literally, I think 4 weeks ago, maybe, I got the results back from the adult survey that we did. So same concept as the youth survey, but now really targeting adults. As you can recognize, getting adults to take surveys is even harder than kids who are in a, you know, classroom where they're being told to do it. So our response rate there wasn't quite as great. There's some different ways that we're hoping to problem solve around that for future surveys. So we got 115 responses on that. So we have some opportunities there to increase that number. But even still, the feedback is really strong there. So we surveyed parents for students in town, but also folks who don't have kids in town. Again, we're full age range, so it doesn't have to just be qualifiers through that. And same thing, I wanted to just share some of the resources that are the data that came from that. So when we think about where the opportunities are there, again, 115 responses, the priorities that folks identified were around mental health and opioids. So for many of you, I'm hoping you've certainly heard of the opioid epidemic at this point and the amount of different efforts that have gone into really reducing the number of opiate deaths within the state of Connecticut through some of these initiatives. The coalition work that I'm doing with this group is very heavily linked to the opioid epidemic because that's really what started to drive a lot of effort into prevention efforts across the state, again, under the governor's direction to target some of those deaths and reduce those numbers. So mental health and opioids were the two biggest areas there, along with understanding youth mental health. And again, how do I talk to my kids around these things, creating opportunities to do those trainings and really figure out different ways to target that for residents, as well as specifically for that pocket population of parents. The other pocket population we tend to do a lot of work with is first responders, just recognizing first responders tend to have a lot of high risks within these different areas due to vicarious trauma, for example. They see a lot, they hear a lot, they need support. Suicide prevention, and again, internet and social media safety are other big ones. A lot of adults super overwhelmed by social media and our kids are always 20 steps ahead of us. So they need more support around that, which we're already starting to do in partnership with the PTA. I mentioned the lock boxes. The other component of that we put a question in there about is medication disposal boxes. So a lot of folks have heard of like drug take back days, for example. Those are one great method to do that. We're partnering with the state trooper again this year for the one that's scheduled in April. A lot of towns have also installed those disposal boxes in town available 24/7. So that's something that there's actually some funding available on the table to install. We have to work a little bit differently with that because we don't have a 24/7 staffed anything here in terms of like local resources like law enforcement or fire departments. But other towns have done that. And that's something that the residents have indicated might be helpful for them to have access to. And then lastly, our target population and focus for this year is also specifically around marijuana. Reason for that being that with the legalization of cannabis a couple of years ago, that sent this message to folks of, oh, it must be safe because now it's legal. And we know that there's a lot of complexity to that. So safe use is defined very differently for individual folks. And there's also going to be risk factors. Alcohol is legal. And that is one of the most addictive substances that we have in society. And yet we sell it anywhere and everywhere every day. So there's a lot of opportunity around education with that. So we identified that under one of the grants that we have this year as an area of focus is to specifically target education and resources around marijuana use to try to target some of that, recognizing again, certain survey questions even identified that kids are viewing marijuana risk as one of the lowest risk areas in terms of substances. So we know that they're not perceiving the risk of using versus for adults where again, it's legal for them to use now, there's still risk. We manage things every day marijuana-induced psychosis, it creates a risk for a number of other developmental factors in youth, their brain functioning, physical health conditions, et cetera. So just a few of the different areas that we're really focused on. The grant that we just received that I just want to wrap up by mentioning is the Hartford Foundation for Public Giving grant. So we just received that one. We've just gotten authorization yesterday to start spending those funds. We got $7,500 through that, and that's really going to move again some of our work forward in a couple of different areas because there's less requirements in that grant about what those deliverables need to be related to, unlike some of the DMIS funded grants that are very specific to certain target substances, for example. So with that, we're going to be bringing back, for those of you who've been in town for a while, the farmers market that we used to have annually. So we're partnering with the town around bringing that back, but expanding the scope of it to more of a wellness fair, bringing in different vendors and agencies who really target holistic wellness and what that looks like. So we're hoping to plan that for August. We're also installing a scholarship. So another big area in our field is that there's not enough practitioners to meet the need of our state. So we've installed a $500 scholarship. Apply to for going into a field in substance use or mental health to support them in engaging in that work and entering into this field to support its continued efforts. The other components is maintaining that lockbox program that I mentioned, continuing with our social media access and making sure that we're visible to the community is another big one. 67% of the folks who took our survey indicated that they knew about the prevention council before they were notified to do the survey. So visibility is a really critical part of this work. And again, being accessible to folks in a number of different ways. So those are some of the ways that we've been able to do that so far in our ongoing efforts, really want to be targeted to what the town is asking for more of so that we can meet those needs however is possible. So a lot of information very quickly. Hopefully I stayed within my time window, but can I answer any questions about anything I covered?
Well, thank you for both the time and the coming to speak to us. The drug box that you were referring to, is that you said it had to be in a 24-hour space monitored?
Not necessarily, but that's often viewed as a comfort for folks. If folks are going to be dropping off controlled substances,
right,
should that be in a place that's always monitored? There's ways around that other towns have kind of navigated because it's a completely locked, secure box. Kind of looks similar, for example, to like the ballot boxes. So they're meant to be very secure where they don't have to be monitored 24/7, but might be something if we consider installing it at some point and kind of what comfort level that would
be with
that intent,
putting one
for example.
Out the ballot box.
Yeah.
Or the library drop box.
Yeah, this is lit up nicely. As long as it's lit up nice, that's a secret to that. And we know there's cameras already out here. But
I wonder if cameras would be a deterrent from somebody using the drop box.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I think there's some opportunities to dive into that, but again, that's certainly something that would need to be decided on by this group. And we're happy to be a resource to supply information about that and funding resources when the time comes. So just an example of something we can offer.
And the farmers market thing is going to be, do you have dates or anything?
The tentative date is August 22nd.
Yeah.
I will call Stephanie out that she was my partner in doing this through the rec team. And so with that transition, we've just paused a little bit. The other component of that being our initial plan was to do this on the town green. And if that's going to be resurfaced, we have to think about locations
this time.
Yeah, we have a couple different options, but our tentative date is August 22nd. That was done intentionally because that's the weekend before school comes back in session. So we have some other ideas of how to engage the school around that. And kind of kick off of like heading back into school well and able to kind of show up to the best of your ability to start the school year.
And the Yankee Fair the church has is much later, isn't it?
Earlier, I believe. We usually attend that as well. I want to say that's in June, usually.
I think that's accurate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we've gone to that the last couple of years, and I was intentional to avoid that window so that we weren't competing with each other.
And are you going to try to bring farmers in too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I've already started socializing that.
There you go.
Yeah. I've talked with a few and I have a list of many more. So Stephanie was really helpful, for example, in pulling the list of folks who did that during the previous rounds of it to kind of start that off and again expand from there and partner with other agencies like the Eastern Highlands Health District to bring in a booth for them,
mm-hmm.
some of the local agencies and the local providers we have in town as well to be able to advertise their support and services.
Very good. Is there any other questions?
Nope.
Thank
I have a number of different handouts for you guys just to give you a little more information. So I did bring full copies of the results of those surveys. So if anybody's interested in those, they can certainly take a look. I can also email the full copies to anybody who'd like them. And then again, just a stack of different education materials and accomplishments from the board over the last 3 years. So if you have time to pursue at any point and take a look at it and you have any questions, obviously, feel free to reach out.
Thank you. I did fill out the adult survey.
Much appreciated.
It was a little bit complicated because it assumed you had kids in school.
Yeah, there was a decision tree in there. That was supposed to kind of go for if you have kids versus if you don't, it brought you to different questions. So we got some feedback that may not have been working perfectly. So there's some room there to give that feedback to the consultant team.
I'm not curious, just answered what I could. That's all.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for the time. I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, Ashley.
Recognize, especially Jim hears from me a lot, along with Kathy. So just the support that we've gotten from the town has been super critical in this being successful. This is all volunteer work for me and the system that I work with. So it's really important to me. So I'm happy to do it. And we can't do it without the
support. Your knowledge and effort is very impressive.
Yeah.
Very well done.
Yeah, thank you.
Save one life. It's worth everything.
Thank you so much. Be safe out there.
Okay, now, moving forward on to number five, we have resignation from the emergency management director of Kathy McCavanaugh. We're going to be sad to see she's gone for that only. She's not going anywhere else. And we're in the market to find somebody. Is that true?
We're working on it.
The position actually gets paid, don't they?
Yes, it's a stipended position.
And okay, now number six. Is there any comments on there?
Yeah, they have one.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, who acts in that capacity while it is being filled?
There won't be any emergencies. That's all.
So Rodney and I will fill the gap. I mean, you know, we're part of the response framework anyway. It just means that we don't have a designated emergency management director.
But so that ultimately falls
out. Doesn't mean that our response will be any less robust.
Administratively, do we need a motion to accept the resignation?
It would be best.
I'll make a motion to accept the resignation of Kathy McCavanaugh as the emergency management director.
I'll second the motion.
Is there any further discussion?
That was David and Tim on the motion and second.
All in favor? Aye.
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 Aye. Did I hear Bob?
He's here.
He's here, yeah. I don't hear his vote, though.
We'll consider him as an abstain for now.
Six yes, and Bob's going to abstain.
Yeah.
So now we're going to move on to number six, new business. The Veterans Commission representative, Bob Mora, is going to discuss veterans tax exemption. Go ahead, take it away, Bob.
Well, okay, I'm back.
Welcome.
As I presented last month, the state of Connecticut 2 years ago had passed a bill which is under Section 241 Public Act, which gave nearly dealt with fully disabled veterans, and particularly those who are not capable of working and providing anything. That's in place, and that's funded by the state of Connecticut. Anyone who meets the qualifications, goes to the assessors in their town, fills it out. If they qualify, then it's granted. And what it does for them, the taxes on their residence is forgiven. That's it. Last year, they added on public tax from an addendum of 168-168. And this was an act dealing with the surviving spouse of a soldier, be it he or she, who was killed in active duty. And it's similar. It allows, if town accepts it, it allows the town to forgive the tax on the resident itself And also, it would include you could include the site as well. So you can go either way. Unfortunately, the state did not make this a universal amendment. It said each community would have to adapt it on their own. So that's why I mentioned here last time, and that's why we're here. It's impact fiscally on a town is minuscule. We're talking in effect, maybe the property taxes on one property. And yes, it would impact a family who lost their father, their husband, a couple of years back. And that's a loss of at least 50% of the income, besides the trauma of losing your spouse, your dad, and still have to survive. And a program like this goes a long way to help economically with these families. They have enough stress to deal with. For this to be put in place, it truly is a godsend for them. And we do have a family in town that would be positively impacted. And I know it would be a real help for them to be able to remain in the community and function. And it's not, and quite frankly, it's not just about one family. It is the right thing to do. I don't understand, if I may, why the state of Connecticut simply didn't make this blanket across every community. It impacts literally a handful of people, fiscally, as far as the community, be it a city, a town, it's a minuscule amount. But somehow they didn't. So I think it's up to us. And I mean, this community has supported our veterans and people in the past. And this is something that I think we should do because it is the right thing to do. Now, if you have any questions, I might be able to answer.
Is this in the line of duty?
It would be, yeah, it have to be. And you have to be in active duty in the line of duty. So if you're on a base and you something happens there, in this case, that they were on a training mission and the gentleman, Mr. Clark was killed. And obviously in combat, that's it. So as you can see, it impacts a rather small number of people. However, the impact of these family is gigantic. So
Absolutely.
I urge the board to do it. And as far as I know, you're working on budget, but the amount of money that this would incur is minuscule.
Did Kara
But the
have a
one thing you would the initial program without the sort of the addenda would be they would take the taxes off the resident itself. So if you look at your field your assessor's card, you notice it's a value for the improvements and a value for the lot. This is the value for the improvements, which is generally the larger portion. However, if you look at your assessor's field cards, you'll notice that your lot values are right up there. I mean, you're in the 100,000, most of the 100,000 range, plus or minus. And quite frankly, if you were to adopt it, I would recommend that you include the lot with it. Make it not only make it truly the residence. I mean, the house isn't just floating up anywhere. It's on a lot, and that's a significant. Quite frankly, that's a lot of money. Sorry, was it? Let's say our mill rate's 33% off of a $100,000 lot off of 70,000. That's a fair amount of dollars.
Is there any questions? Go ahead.
Yeah, so I see. So where I'm looking at a memo that was prepared in June of last year by our assessor, and she set out the she summarizes the changes to the legislation. And one of the municipal options is to
limit the exemption to the median assessed value of residential dwellings in the town for that grand list year. Is that, are you also asking for that to be part of this? What we, if we adopt something?
I didn't hear.
Okay, so that one of the sections,
right.
There's a municipal option.
To 241?
Well, this is, it's Connecticut General Statutes 12-81, subparagraph 83, subparagraph G. It's to limit the exemption to the median assessed value of residential dwellings in the town for that grand list year.
Okay. See, no, actually, we're recommending the actual, not the median. What that means, they would take all the assessed values of the town and, you know, come up with a median number, high, low, and I believe that it should be the actual value of the property.
So I believe he's recommending section 233 ENF.
Right. Thank you.
CGS.
That's right. I wanted to make sure that it wasn't all.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't the other.
And then the other thing is that there's a section, there's this another section that offers a municipal option to exempt the dwelling of the parent of a person killed in action. Are you asking for that also?
We are not at this point, no.
Okay. Okay, so I think I'm not positive about this, but it seems like this should be set out in an ordinance. Like, I think it needs an ordinance, because I don't think we can just say
we should adopt it.
Yes, because I think we need some protocol, we need some process so that our assessor knows exactly how to deal with.
This is a little convoluted.
Yeah, so what I would recommend that if we're favoring adopting this, I would say that we would authorize our town attorney to draft an ordinance and then have a public, we'd have to have a public hearing on it. Under our charter, we're required to have a public hearing on adopting any ordinances.
Yeah, I think the exemption makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I favor the exemption.
Both, there are restrictions. I don't know if you looked into it, but I forgot to mention that. Should your spouse remarry?
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah, that's written on here, too.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
And you didn't mention it. I want to make sure you're aware of it.
So I never met anyone else.
Yes.
But, yeah.
Or leave.
Yeah. And I am also curious, too, on if financial impact, and I don't know how, who would know this, or if the assessor would have this information too, but if it would be more than one, and if it is just a couple, or if there is just, you know,
it's one.
At this time, right.
And so that is just, right, my question is.
Well, I understand it, but.
As a matter of due diligence. I understand
the question.
Yeah.
But quite frankly, the need doesn't change if it's one or two. Or three.
Oops.
And I think it's up to this community, any community, to come to step up for what these families go through. They go through a bunch of crap long before anything like this can happen. If you've ever been part of a military family, you know what it's like. It's totally different than anything else. So I think it's the amount, the dollars for any community is, I can't say insignificant, but damn near. But the impact of the family that's impacted is you cannot fathom how important it would be to them.
Would it be safe to say that the cost would be between $6,000 and $12,000 per case
less
that
than 10.
Dealing with? Less than that?
Less than 10.
So, less than 10, did you say, or less, yeah, than
less
that?
Than 10.
So if there was four of them, we'd be looking at $40,000.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's compelling one way. You know,
no, I don't mean to get so passionate, but
it's, no, and I appreciate it, and I really think it is a valiant, you know, initiative too. But there's a matter of due diligence to say.
Not everybody out there would understand this part, so it's good to just give them a number to think about.
Yeah,
you know, we're not just handing Willie money, just handing it out. So, and I think it's a good idea myself. Any further comments?
Anything from you, Bob?
No.
You're good? Yes. Any comments?
I'm good.
So I guess we need a motion to.
So just to clarify before we do try this wording, it would be a motion to make a recommendation to the town, or a motion for the town of Bolton to
authorize the town attorney.
Yeah, what's the wording for making an ordinance? Creating an ordinance?
Well, it would be a draft an ordinance for our review.
Yep. So
do you have to use the specific numbers of the bill, or can we just describe it?
We would provide the information to the town attorney for his use in the drafting of the ordinance.
But I mean, during the motion that.
Well, yeah, because he's saying we only want to include E and F, not G, as part of Section 233 under the House bill. So it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck.
Or do we?
Thank you, David.
Do we even need a motion until we get the draft?
Do we need a motion to authorize our attorney to draft the town attorney to draft an ordinance? We don't. You don't think we do?
No, I don't.
Great.
Okay. Great.
I guess.
And I'd be more than help wanted to help anyway.
Yeah. The bus went that way. It slid off the ice.
You're off. I'm underneath the bus.
Yes.
Good idea.
Yes. Rough use.
Okay.
Thank you, Bob.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
For
to see it. And
you know, with
part back of the motion for recording stuff, as I was doing while you were.
Thank you very much, Bob.
Hi, this is the recording clerk. I just want to clarify, is there an official motion on the floor?
No.
Okay, so it was just a discussion.
But we are asking the town attorney to draft an ordinance for our review.
Perfect. Thank you.
So B is to consider and possibly act on changes.
Well, that's what we do.
Yeah, and we're going to skip that.
So C, we would need to have B complete before we can do C.
Right.
There we go. Okay. Right. So number 6D, discuss referenda locations and consider and possibly act on recommendations for register of voters on referred referenda dates and times changes.
Do you want to give Mr. Lally a time limit?
Yeah.
We got Sandy here too. So they're requesting that the time be changed from the standard 6 to 8 that's been standard practice in town for many, 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 many years, as far as I know, to 12 to 8. And the dates, of course, as shown on the handouts that we have. And we also have a correspondence from Lori Bushnell, our tax collector, who had wanted certain dates in order to get the tax bills out on time. So, Ross, would you like to plead your case?
Sandra's got her hand up.
Sandy? Yes.
Sandra, go first.
Sandra? Yep.
Hi there. Thanks. I want to point out, first of all, that the town of Bolton has an existing ordinance on the books since that was effective July 14th in the year 2000. And the ordinance says hours of votings at election and referendums. And section 2 says, whenever the town conducts a referendum on a day other than a state or town elections, the polls shall be open from 12 noon to 8 p.m. By resolution, the Board of Selectmen may extend the hours during which the polls remain open, provided that they shall not be opened earlier than 6 a.m. And the ordinance was adopted, that repealed a prior ordinance adopted in May 15th of 1979. So unless the Board of Selectmen moves otherwise to have the referendum from 6 a.m. till 8 p.m., noon to 8 p.m. is the default. Rodney's right, in the past recent memory, it has been 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. However, I do remember several that were noon to 8 p.m. A reason for asking this is last year we budgeted for two referendums in this fiscal year in the spring, and I'm sorry, last summer and two this spring. We had four last year. If we have two more than one this year, we're going to run short in budgeted funds. And I need to remind the Board of Selectmen that you are obligated to fund these elections. So if we run out of money and we're an election that runs 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. means our people work from 5 a.m. until we're done. At the last referendum, that was 11 p.m. And something like that could cost $7,000 to $8,000. The minimum cost is six. And we think we can save something in the neighborhood of $2,000 to $2,400 by opening at noon.
It's 2,000 to 2,400 per election, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, it's somewhere in around that because we have 10 people, just for the sake of making simple numbers, 10 people, 200 an hour. And if you shorten the workday by 6 hours and you got 1,200 there, we typically provide them something for breakfast so you can save that money. So you wind up with at least 1,200 to 1,500 bucks for each one.
And then how does this timing, like what is the percentage of voters between the 6 a.m. and the 12 p.m.?
The bulk of them come in the afternoon. We get some in the morning very early, and then it sort of slows down. And then the majority of them come after lunch, especially towards after school gets out.
The informal vote counts on the public pages always seem to be like 100 or 200, maybe before 2 p.m., and then it zooms up
I
as later.
recall the last election I looked at and watched was 30, one about a third of the votes came in before noon time.
Okay.
It was 600, I think,
The
to
majority.
18.
Okay, I was asking you to define the majority, but that's.
No, that's the other reason for suggesting it, because that's when the majority of people are available, who do come in to vote.
So, Sandy, I had
Yes.
Sandra, sorry. I had inquired, and you were going to inquire if we could say if we do this, we go with the regular hours on the first two. And you were going to ask the Secretary of State if we could mix them up like that?
I have not gotten a legal answer. However, our election officer has said that a referendum that is basically a rerun with just a new number is a continuation of the original referendum, and therefore the only thing we can change is the location because of health and safety.
So my thinking there was the first two, you have regular hours. That's what people are expecting of the 1,800 voters or whatever, 1,200, whatever shows up, they're accustomed to what they're accustomed to. So if you start changing the hours and people show up here or wherever and they say, oh, now look what they're trying to do.
I think you're going to get more people that are frustrated if you change that in the third referendum of a year than the first one of a new year, than vice versa. Like, I think if you say this year we're doing 12 to 8 because that's what's in our town ordinance, people are more likely to be willing to go along with that than if you change it in the third referendum.
And part of why we wanted to have this discussion is so that whatever we agree to, if it's different from what we've done, we're going to publish this on our website. We're going to put it in the bulletin. I'm going to make handouts that can be picked up at the town clerk's office. They'll sit at the table here. It'll be at the library, and they will be at the senior center. Because I want to make sure that everybody knows, exactly what the hours are and where these are going to be, because there was confusion last year. I don't want to repeat it, but
It's still going to cause that.
yeah, just how we minimize it.
Yep.
Or do we create the situation where we have to confuse it? That's the question. So,
well, hopefully we don't have to go that well, far into referendum, but.
Go ahead. No, he means changing it at all.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, it's in a sense, it's a chicken or an egg, because one of the reasons we're having the referendum is the costing, too. And if there's a way that we are able to communicate some degree of cost cognizance.
Nobody's going to notice $2,000 in the budget. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's fact or appearance.
Right.
It's not 2,000, Rodney. If we do six, it's about 12,000.
We're not doing six. We're not getting six. If we do six this year,
I don't think anyone could appreciate that we did six last year.
That was just a different situation.
Yeah.
So
again, you know, it's basically your call, because you can get some money back at the end of the year, or you can go and find it to pay from somebody else's budget, because you're required by statute to pay for it.
Right.
Well, that's it. Name your poison. And that's right. To me, I'd rather give some money back or give the taxes than you start scrambling to try to take it out of somebody else's budget who wasn't expecting that to happen to them. But, you know, you're a call with that. I'm just, you know, saying, so Sandy, I don't know what Sandy, I don't know what you think.
Human nature, man, people have a tough time with expectations. When they have an expectation and it's not met, it's just, you know, human beings. Just
in reference to
causes problems. They start changing things around, you know.
We change it at some point, because if this is an ordinance in the town where it says 12 to 8.
But is there a reason other than the funds to change it? Is it fatigue, or?
You mean,
or back then? $12,000 in the budget is worth it to me to keep things consistent. If there's another reason, then maybe we should consider it.
Well, I will say that when you're doing, you know, last year was a unique thing where we had six votes for the budget.
Yeah.
But I could see the fatigue on the faces of the individuals who were working the polls. It, you know, to try to do it every 2 weeks, and you know, there's only a limited number of people that, you know, I know we pay them, but it's a lot of work for the amount that we pay them.
Which is also why we wanted to move it in June over to the Commons area at the end of the school year. Move it to the Commons, because the main issue was the. Church is convenient from a number of perspectives. They're rival hall, but it's not air conditioned, and it was regularly over 90 degrees in there, and that's not a good thing for anybody, particularly people who are in their 60s, 70s. And you put them in there for 12 hours or more.
So we solved that problem, or?
Yeah, that's part of what I want you guys to consider, Sandra, and I want you to consider is that the first set up through the end of June, when school closes, we do them over at St. Morris in Rival Hall. And if they continue beyond June, then we move them to the high school commons.
Right.
We've already got the okay from St. Morris, from their pastor, and we also got the okay from the school. So everything on here has been approved already, if we, you know, if you guys go with it.
So you were commenting, were you done?
Yeah, no, I just, you know, it was pretty clear that there was, you know, he asked about fatigue. It's pretty clear to me, just as an observer, that there was definitely fatigue with the people who were working the polls.
I hesitate to change it. Now, if you want to change it for next year's voting, at least it'd give you a long time to get the word out there. I mean,
we've got 2 months, 2.5 months.
2 months and no one's going to remember if you tell them now and then come back 6 months later. Still think that they vote here.
That's true.
It's possible that we could put something out. We've discussed this, I think, outside the voting area that would reflect either some questions
we could certainly do that, put a poster up in advance of it.
Or can you actually put the question on the ballot? Should we change the voting times from 12 to 8?
No.
No. We would need to change the ordinance.
That would be a public hearing to change the ordinance.
You want to just have a public information hearing of some kind or another.
I think when people walk either in or out, there would want to be something telling them that it's going to be changed next year. And then I'd be comfortable with that.
People are going to complain either way. Like it's just the nature of the beast and whether it's warranted or not. Like, you know, if we all we can do is try to get the information out there best as possible.
And again, it's your call, because I know there's a political side to this as well as to the financial side, but we have heard that why did the referenda cost so much? They didn't want to spend that much for them. So really the only way that we can reduce them is still stay, you know, the costs and still stay compliant both with our ordinance and statutes is to shorten the hours. There's, you know, not really, because we're mandated to have certain people there as, you know, staff with certain roles, and it's not much else we can do. And you wind up paying for it anyway, even if you take it out of the budget and it turns out you do, we don't have any extra, you know, it's, you're going to pay for it. I just want to make sure you guys all understand that, so that if we did run short because you decided to have six when we've only budgeted for, right now we've got four on here. We were budgeted for a total of four this year. We will have three that we didn't budget for. So that's about $18,000 that was not, you know, budgeted for. So again, just want you to make sure that you understand, you know, whatever your decision is informed. And not surprised if we tell you, you know what, we ran out, you gotta pay.
Let me see how this is written.
And one other thing, I think Lori wanted to move, try to get in even another one. She wanted to see if we can get in four or five. She wanted to get in.
She came to a finance committee meeting, I believe it was. Right. And she wanted to get in four. So we have the letter here. Showing again for the first one would have to be May 5th if we were to do four before July 1st so that she could get the bills out. Last one being June 16th so that she could write the bills by July.
And I went, and just to answer that more specifically, I went and took the latest budget calendar that Jill put together and did what I could to back it up 2 weeks. And after we have a week off for school, you know, one of the public hearings we scheduled would fall during that, and I don't want to schedule a public hearing during a vacation when people are away. So to get this done, the Finance Committee would have to adopt the budget on March 26th in order for our first public hearing to happen on April 7th, because you have to file the budget with the town clerk 5 days before the public hearing. So after we deliberate on the 26th, Jill's going to have to put in the changes, and then it's got to get to the town clerk in time to be filed and be compliant. So I don't know that we could do it, because the Board of Ed and the Board of Selectmen present their budgets for the first time on the 19th this month. So we would have to decide either that meeting or a week later that this is what we're going to submit. And again, with the future dates, we haven't worked through them with the Finance Committee, so I don't know, if, you know, what people's availability are, because everybody went through this and agreed to availabilities and such. And I would want to run any changes by the town clerk and by the CFO just to make sure we didn't miss anything, as we got a public hearing made off by a day on this thing previously. So that's been corrected.
So we have two issues going on here. One is the locations, which my understanding is the Board of Selectmen have no say in it. We could maybe recommend to them if we don't. We all don't like what they're doing with where they're moving them. We could say, then if they want our recommendation, fine. If they don't, so I don't know if anybody has any.
It's not that we judge by statute with towns that have more than one district. It's left up to the registrar. It's delegated to the registrars to decide. If we only had one district, you guys as the governing body of the town would be able to decide, but then you'd have to make sure it was compliant with all the...
So does anybody have any...
I think the Redfern voters should have the say in where it goes, because they're the ones working the day. We're not the ones spending just 8, 10, 12 hours.
I want to give everybody the opportunity to... say yes or no. Yeah, so
I agree with
the logical people.
So that's not a question.
They're logical people.
That's not on the table. And So there's only the two locations, or well, excluding for the referendum, only two locations. St. Maurice and then the school commons.
Yeah, that's for the referendum. Those are the two locations. And then early voting is going to be in the registrar's office as usual. And we have to go actually in the backup location, and that would be room A over in near the senior center. And then election day voting, district one is going to be in the high school gym, and just that's for the primary, and then the Bolton High School Commons. So that's for the primary, and same locations again for the fall election. And we're concerned that there might actually be a primary this year because both the Democrats and the Republicans at the state level are fighting over who's going to be the candidates. So
do we have to approve? No. We have to make a motion to approve the schedule or not?
The locations, we do not.
But the schedule? The
schedule, yes.
So I'd like to make a motion to approve the referendum schedule as presented on the February 10th memorandum. And
as far as the dates go,
and I'm saying that because there is that one different date that the town right. The tax collector has recommended.
Yep.
But it sounds like based on what Ross said, that first date, that May 5th date, isn't going to be workable.
And then there's point B on this too.
So somebody has to second that.
Oh, I'll second that question. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Is there any other discussion on the dates?
I would just recommend that we modify that just to make clear that the locations of those dates are not set in stone as presented in the letter. Because like let's say the 30th, if the school is out by the 30th and they want to move it to the school, then there could be that potential. But just because they're on the same line in the memorandum, it would probably make sense to delineate that in the motion.
Which one were you talking about?
I'm just talking generically, like, you know, that those locations don't necessarily need to be.
And it's up to them.
It's up to them, right? Well, just include that.
Okay. We actually want your approval for it. Somebody should second your motion, and then you
already
should.
They did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just to be clear, we already got approval for these locations. These are what we're going to use. We have to report them to the Secretary of State and let them know. Okay. So I don't want to have to change them.
Okay.
So should we vote on that then?
So yep. It would only be in the event of an emergency that they would get changed.
But they have the ability, right? They have the ability to do that based on health and safety reasons, right. Which is the reason that they asked to change it last year to next door.
I want to just avoid that. I want people to know this year that this is the game plan, so that we don't change it in the middle, and then they're like, then the rumors start swirling and the conspiracy theories when there really aren't any.
I think David's point is that, you know, if school is out on before the 30th and you have a heat wave coming, you may choose as the registrars to move that location.
Yes.
And he just wants to make it clear that you have that ability.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that accurate? That was my point. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. I agree with
that. That's a written rule that wouldn't necessarily make its way into. Or that's an emergency change. Would that have to be an emergency change at that point?
What?
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
That location.
It would be, to me, the only way we could change it is we got a heat wave and school happened to be out. Otherwise, we're stuck, or if something blows up, then we can move over to either the Congregational Church, or you can possibly do something over in Herrick Park, but it doesn't have the access as easily.
Could you use the library?
No, not big enough.
Okay.
Yeah, they have to move a lot of stuff around to give space inside.
We're thinking that has the.
This is an exercise that we've actually spent a lot of time on.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you for spending time. Both Sandra
and Ross spent a lot of time with me and Bernice as well. We spent a lot of time together trying to figure out locations and places, and but there's a whole matrix that I'm sure Ross or Sandra will be happy to send you.
Okay. Any other discussion before I take a vote? All in favor?
Aye.
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 That's aye. Seven. That's that seven. Again. Yes. So the next on the agenda here
or not the agenda, the next line item on that is for the time change. You got the dates done.
Well,
you got the location done.
I consider it to be not a time change if we keep 12 to 8, because that's what the town ordinance says.
I just think a third of the people that vote the morning, if it's a third, are going to. I mean, but I'm also saving $2,000 to $12,000 is valid too.
Yeah, I mean, that's not insignificant. We were talking about saving, what was it, $6,000 just from that highway piece of equipment? I mean, it all adds up depending on where you can find the savings. Start small.
I would lean towards saving the money, but I just, I'm always aware of all the.
And I also think it's worth considering if the registered voters is coming to say, this is a concern, we'd like to propose this time, that we should be cognizant of that as well.
Yeah, this is where it gets to be political in addition to financial, and sometimes there's no right answer because one, you never get everybody happy.
Yeah,
which is
yeah, the
so lesser of the two evils.
The two evils, and again, I'm just.
But we're just following the suggestion of the register of voters.
We just don't know how many people vote in the morning that will not vote.
Well, you want to remember that someone who is out of town for the remainder of the day does have the option of applying for and casting an absentee ballot.
Or voting early too, right?
No, there is no early voting for referendums.
Oh, okay.
That's a one shot.
Okay, yeah.
And I just, because we had the six last year and the way that turned out, I would hate to bring this up and have people showing up and it's not open until 12. They didn't look. They didn't care to look.
They didn't take advantage of the 12 hours.
And
should take them away.
And then they start saying that we did this on purpose, trying to sway the election.
Now, I mean, Ross has said that you've listed at least four different ways that you plan to get the message out that hours are going to be different.
Yeah,
I think that's going to be hugely important.
Yeah, agree.
And start way ahead of time so it doesn't look like you're trying to exclude people who want to vote before doom.
Anybody else have any comments? Anybody got a motion?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Would part of your advertising campaign regarding following the ordinance hours include information about people having the ability to vote absentee ballot?
Yep. We can do that.
And how far ahead?
I talked with the town clerk, Liz, about we can do the absentee ballots for her ourselves. We don't need to spend extra money to get them printed and they'll run through the machines. Says she only needs, I think, 60. And if she starts running short, we can make more for her.
So we can
super easy.
Can we spend the first $1,200 we're going to save on mailers to every household in the town?
It'd cost much more than that.
How many households? We have
2,400.
Almost 4,000 registered voters. And
well, there's 2,400 houses or so.
So that's 2,000 houses, and it's almost each. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll tell people we're saving money.
I mean, it's anything, we're open to anything. It's just as long as we know there's a cost to all of this stuff. There's a political cost and there's also the financial risk.
So I'd like to make a motion that the referenda be held according to the existing town ordinance, which requires them to be held between the hours of noon and 8 p.m.
Oh, thanks, Matt.
Bob can have it.
Bob.
Thank you.
Hey, Bob. Second. Is there any further discussion?
Thanks, Tim.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Six in favor and one opposed. Rodney's opposing. Is there?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Next.
And just a quick thing, Sandra and I will put something together, let you guys take a look at it too. We send it out.
I'd like to find out what it costs, a mailer would cost too.
We make a note then, Jim, of that to add a line item to either an AP or a meeting with AP or the next main meeting to discuss the flyer from the ROV.
So we save lunch? Do we save the money on lunch?
Breakfast.
Breakfast.
Ross and Sandra, when do you think you'll have a flyer ready for the review of the Board of Selectmen?
Probably.
We meet by a meeting.
I'm sorry.
We meet almost every day.
Our next time in the office is next Tuesday, so probably by close of town hall business next Tuesday.
Yeah, so we can discuss it next Tuesday at the meeting with AP.
So you are they have a meeting next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Would you have it available, you think, before that? Or should we wait till the
23rd? Exactly, I'll start on it. I'll definitely not. It's Thursday, Friday.
I just don't want to put it on the agenda if it's not going to be ready. I don't want to give you guys a time crunch that you can't hear.
Are you available to take a look at something if I send it over the weekend so we can get it to them on Monday?
Sure.
Okay.
All right. So we can make it an agenda item for next week.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for the
thank you
discussion.
That's it?
Nothing. Oh. Moving on to number seven, old business.
So I'd like to point out on number seven, we had tabled a discussion from February 10th to approve the capital budget no later than today. So we will need to act on that today. And if you want to, you can go find that in the meeting minutes of February 10th.
Okay, so you're just saying that tonight you've got to do it tonight.
Well, just the capital budget.
Well, it would be my hope that we could, you know, spend as much time as we need to spend and get this done, because
I don't disagree. I just want to point it out.
Yeah, we also have a responsibility to turn this budget over to the finance committee before the 15th.
Yeah. Thank you, David.
Sorry, no, that was a broad pitch. I've been looking through the minutes from February 10th, and that popped up for another reason.
Yep.
Nobody's waiting for anything here.
It'll be fun to start.
So where we left off was that we needed an updated sheet because it was already outdated from the last meeting, right?
Yes. So then we'll move that.
In the packet that was delivered, I think it was earlier today, there were two options on that front page. There was a savings of $25,000 from one to the other. Through an explanation of what the
so there was two different things that we gave you. Yeah. One was I went over the capital budget again with some of our department heads, and Mr. Butchmovich said that he felt that he could wait on the out front mower, and so we moved the out front mower in the capital to another year. So it was a $39,000 savings. And Stephanie is online with us. If you don't mind, she can join us. She helped us make these scenarios in your budget package. The only person that I would say, you know, you could cut money from my budget, but it's a risk, would be the registrars of voters. And so we gave you the option of making a budget reduction for the registrar of the voters of $25,000, which I think was $5,000 more than he suggested would even be. But he was the only one that said you could do it, but it would be a risk. You know, we're budgeting for this much.
And so the assumptions in that reduction were
what?
Yeah, what did you drop to get to that 25?
Yeah. I didn't recall that we dropped anything other than that you went to the reduced budget, the reduced referenda hours. You would say for the six referenda that we thought, you know, proposed for next year, you just saved again about the $1,500 to $2,000 on each of those. Because I don't recall that I was consulted or said anything. Sandra, were you?
We didn't. This was a note that I made when you gave your budget presentation, that if we wanted to cut it from six to four, we could do that, but it was a risk.
I'm trying to recall which, when you say six to four, which...
from six referenda to four referenda.
Okay, yeah.
It would be a risk.
Yeah, and I put it in the referenda that I budgeted for the full, you know,
why was that correct?
They weren't as short.
Right.
So if you wanted to shorten it,
no,
then you could effectively probably still go with the six and reduce it by, you know, 10,000.
Okay. It's difficult to see, like, hey, the one the first place to reduce would be the registrar of voters, because the risk is a double-edged sword of
it is. We would have to find it somewhere else.
We have to find the money again.
Right.
Plus, we need to reduce the money somewhere else. So it's like, are we really saving anything by removing that out of the first budget other than rolling the dice?
I would feel comfortable if you took like about Sam.
Didn't we just save money?
I know. I just
that's for next year.
Sorry. No,
no,
oh, it's for
no for this. It's for the beginning of this
that's already,
year.
But it's about 25K,
right?
It's for two of the
next year.
It's two of the six that I put in. We put in for next year.
Yeah. So the ones that are in his budget, two of them are the 16th of this year and the 30th of this year.
Got it.
Yeah, so
and I just want to be clear, it's not a recommendation. It was just a scenario to start a conversation.
Yeah, and I think I don't recall the conversation, but if we're talking about that number, then if you took the 1,500 to 2,000 off each of those referenda, then you would be able to do that much.
But not 25.
The other thing that I think is, you know, John and his team work pretty hard, and a lot of the mowers that they have, yeah, they keep them up pretty well. But if John's getting to the point where he thinks they need a new mower, and they're probably pretty close to needing a new mower, because he'll find every way possible to save the equipment and refurbish the equipment if he can.
He was very comfortable moving it.
It was
his suggestion.
Yeah.
He said, if you're looking for a place to, because I sat down and had a conversation with him about cost savings. He happened to be in the office. He said, this is an area that we could push off another year. He was very comfortable with that. If he wasn't comfortable with that, I would tell you.
Is there value in considering split funding it?
We already did. We split fund it this year for next year and the year after. And he's suggesting that we just
put in 2029.
Just leapfrog that 39,000 to the following year.
Take everything you can get, right? Close to as close to zero as possible. Or what?
He was comfortable removing it.
He's not removing it. He's just pushing it down the road.
And 28 right now has not as much capital as 1.7.
Then the other question would be, anyway, we were comfortable, pretty comfortable with that.
28's capital budget. That was a lot. Like, that's cool.
Yeah,
right. I'm sure. Right. So they have room right now. Things will come up.
The other part about that is, you know, it's 3.6% increase year over year with that 39 included. It goes down to, it'll probably be like 3.3 if we don't consider the ROV. Is that a worthwhile thing to keep in, like, hey, this is where we could find reductions in the future if we need to? Or do we do that right away?
So I think the whole conversation has to start with, what number do you think we can put out there that will get passed in one or two referendums?
Well, that's what we were talking about, the 3.5 or whatever ended up landing on. It was close to 3.5 last time.
If we can pull this off in one or two referendums, we're saving six times 7,000.
You guys are much more experienced in budgeting at the corporate level and stuff, but I know the sentiment from people is they don't like that when you hold stuff because you know you're going to take it out later. Like, why don't we just say we did the best we can now?
Then if they don't pass it, you get
it. I hear you, but we're talking about leaving it in just to take it out later.
And as much
that's exactly what people don't like.
As right? much of a joke
I,
it is.
I appreciate that sentiment. That's the kind of conversation.
It might be stupid, but it's the reality.
This is a very lean budget.
Yeah.
Might,
we should be proud of this budget.
I might just put in my finance
committee
for a second.
Please. So
it's also what we've also told the voters, and the last group is more aware of it, was that as we get closer to the end of the fiscal year, we know more what's left over and what's safe for us to give back. So some of it is really with being cautious up front, so that, you know, we can give back as opposed to, you know, the oops.
Yeah.
You know, now we got to ask for more.
Absolutely.
Bump the numbers up again because we just found out the insurance is more than we had planned for or something like that.
We kept the high side of the insurance.
Yeah.
At 15%.
Where is the Board of Ed sit right now?
5.17%.
Yeah,
5.17%.
So the problem is going to be if the budget does fit and the Board of Ed still has not given up anything yet, and we've stripped ours down, which is
stripped
really
down.
We're but it's
it is what it is.
That
I mean, yeah, leaves, it's a green budget.
That leaves the finance committee to have sympathy on us.
Well, you could have sympathy up to, let's say that you went in with a zero increase and the voters were still not happy. We could cut the school budget down to slightly above where it was last year, the approved budget, and then right. Anything additional comes out of the selectmen.
Right.
Because so, the school budget by statute can't be reduced below the previous year's adopted budget, even unless there's some changes in the students.
So you get a double-edged sword. Plus, the
yeah, it's a different conversation with them because they have a different perception. I've told this to David too, is that they have to struggle to make sure they spend what they did last year, and then they can add somewhere. We, the selectmen, have a different way. They don't have that, and we could cut. Finance committee could cut the selectmen's budget we have that we chose, but the schools is going to pretty much stay where it is.
I assume by David there you mean Caruso.
Yes, David Caruso.
I just want to make sure I wasn't missing a conversation.
Now,
I have some specific questions about the budget because I will look through it after last week. So could I just get those questions out of the way?
Please.
Okay, so.
Sure, you're direct.
They're pretty direct, I think.
They're kind of waffly.
So the first one is under the administration budget. I noted in the notes. On the notes, the first note at the bottom, modified payroll for First Selecting's new salary effective 7/1/2026. I think what the motion was 7/21/26, or wasn't it the earlier of July 1 or the passage of the budget?
But the dollar value, based on your motion, the dollar value doesn't change whether it's adopted on that date or
at the passage. But I just don't think that this, I mean, if this is incorrect, we don't want somebody looking at this and saying, the salary takes effect on July 1, even if we don't pass a budget until August. Because it's passage of the budget. Right?
So it's not an hourly thing. It's just a payroll. They just give it to you regardless of sales.
But my point is, regardless of what day it takes effect, it goes into the budget as of that date.
And the encumbrance is made as of 7/1, right. Whether it's expended.
That doesn't change.
Okay.
It's just when he starts collecting it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay. Also, there's a little sheet behind the detailed page that's got some details about the salaries. And just CONF secretary, does that mean confidential secretary?
Yeah.
Okay. $73,000. Is that an increase from last year?
It would be approximately what she is making now with the emergency management director salary. And Rodney and I did have a discussion about this. It is approximately equal to an administrative assistant, I believe one or two in the union. So she's actually currently paid less as a confidential secretary than a position of equal or less responsibility in the union.
Okay. So, all right. So let's back up to my question is this $73,000 an increase in salary, in her salary? I guess, and it's tied in with the fact that has resigned that emergency management position, which another question was, it's 6,000 or something like that stipend. Is that coming out of the budget because she has resigned?
No, because we have to pay somebody else to do that job.
Okay. So is the 73,000 minus the six?
It is not. It is about equal to what it is today, including the emergency management salary.
So is it an increase in let's just say, let's take out the emergency management salary. Is her base pay, is that an increase over the?
It would be an increase over her base pay.
And what's that percentage?
Roughly? It's around $6,000.
So her base pay is going up by about $6,000?
Only if you approve it. Okay. So you have to, so you would still have to approve this at a later date. You get a schedule of salary increases and we discuss them every year that you vote on.
When are we going to get those salary, breakdown?
You won't get that until usually it's in May or June. It's usually in June.
Okay. Before. So we'll be able to see a breakdown of all the salaries that go into the administrative budget. So
the money will be in the budget if we approve it at that point.
Okay.
Is that right, Jim? That's.
I guess I'm just looking, but I just.
In the new budget.
I would like to know if people are getting raises that we are, and that we're. If people are getting raises, I'd like to know that. And I think that we should have.
Nobody gets a raise until you, as the Board of Selectmen, vote on it and approve it. For people that are in the union, you have already voted on those and approved them.
I get that. So are we, if we vote on this administration budget, we are approving a $6,000 increase for the confidential.
No, you're not.
No?
You're approving a budget number.
So when we do discuss it, we do approve it, the money will be in the budget for it.
Okay, so it's possible at some point in the future that we decide no.
That's accurate.
Okay, all right, I get it. Okay, and I think
we're just funding it.
Okay, and I guess that comment then ties in with the other issue that I have harped on before, which is that there are a number of department heads in this budget who are requesting increases and we haven't seen their reviews yet. And I know I've brought it up before. I'm bringing it up again because I think that if in order to base a decision on an increase, we should see the reviews. So, and I know that you said you're working on those and I do look forward to seeing those.
I've seen three people go through his office one day.
Pardon me?
Three people go through his office one day.
What do you mean? So what is that?
He witnessed those reviews happen.
Right.
Oh, okay, good. Great. So they should be forthcoming pretty soon then?
Well, there's an awful lot going on in there right now.
Okay, I know. But we didn't see them last year either. So you know that's why I just want to make sure that we as a selectman board are running the town. We should be running the way it's set out in the charter. And then I have a question about the, in the highway department. I noticed that the road sweeping was only 5,000 in there. And I know that before we've talked about how expensive it is, it's like up to 12,000 or so. And is it only 5,000 because it's being paid for with the NIP money?
It is.
Okay. And, do you foresee that NIP money as coming in pretty on a pretty regular basis? Year after year.
Well, we don't know if or when that will end. I know that there's been some discussion about it ending. We currently have enough right now to pay for this spring's sweeping.
In addition to the 5,000 that's in there. Okay. And then also in the highway department, I know that one of the members resigned recently, he was really highly skilled at doing a lot of repairs to the equipment. So I'm just wondering if there needs to be more in the maintenance and repairs line item, because now that we don't have him, I don't know if the new person is going to have the same skill set.
We switched to more on capital because we can't repair him.
Right. Have to buy new,
right.
Can't repair.
We're going to be moving some money within the highway department to cover for repairs that we're sending out.
Okay.
We're currently working with the union to make some realignments in job descriptions. And once that's done, we will be looking for somebody to fill that vacant role. And our hope is that we can get somebody that's at least as skilled mechanically as the one who just resigned.
So you don't think that we need to bump up that line item?
I think we're okay, and there is, I think, enough money in the highway budget. If we had to move some monies within the budget to cover a little bit more, we could.
Okay. All right. Those are all the questions I had. Thank you.
Bryce?
Sure.
Some questions?
While we're on highway, looking at the budget that we had reviewed, there's like a $4,000 change, and it looks like it was an increase in OT and in supplies lines.
Yep.
I'm going to take a leap that OT is built in because of increased inclement weather, or?
So, I mean, you know, he presented that budget with some numbers, and we had a lengthy conversation about it and actually made some decisions at that point to make some changes, and those changes were made, and the sheet was updated to reflect the discussion that we had with AJ at the time he came and presented his budget.
Okay.
There's nothing new been added there.
If I could chime in, this is Stephanie. Sorry, everybody. I believe that worksheet had been updated to match the budget summary. So I don't think it was matching previously. So we made that change.
Yeah, last week we were having issues where the sheets weren't matching the summary because they were in separate sheets.
Okay. Yeah. So the highway department budget matches the cover sheet?
Yeah, right. So the cover sheet we had last week, I think there was like maybe one thing that needed to be adjusted based on our discussion.
But yeah, okay.
The cover sheet was the more up-to-date.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that it?
No additional questions for me.
Wow.
Well, on that same highway, he said that we had talked with AJ specifically for equipment, that there's third from the bottom to try to reduce that 12,000 just based on potentially finding use. So I think if we could continue to push that as like a hey, there's equipment out there that's basically, you know, pre-loved but still in really good shape. Town can save some funds on a piece of equipment they don't use. Well, they would use, but wouldn't use all the time. You know, that would be a potential cost savings. I could think of it.
That was that specific piece of equipment that he described.
Yeah,
it was the 412.
Yeah, the one he's talking about has like a water tank for dust suppression.
Yeah,
and a current.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, and so he was asking for 12. We thought it could be less.
Is that what you're asking? Yeah, I think 9 in that 12 was for that brush, if I remember right.
Okay.
Say that again, Dave.
I think like 9 of that 12.
Yeah, I don't know what the rest of it's for. The description only talks about the broom.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
But either way, there was
either way.
Yeah, I have 9,500 broom to rent, 700 a week.
It's something you don't need right away. You can afford the time of looking around and find a good deal and use it.
But to use as an example, you know, if highway looking for other equipment or other purchases, yeah.
That with the skid steer, right?
We did. We purchased the skid steer used.
So are we suggesting to reduce that 12,000, or is that not on the table?
Is that what you're suggesting? Or, and if we're going to try to go and make the budget and what we think is lean and appropriate.
Any reason not to do that, Jim?
And we're currently at which one are we going looking at, scenario A or B?
Just on the individual sheet.
You're not looking at
number 24, third line from the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, sir, that's a decision for the board to make. I mean, if you feel comfortable reducing that, so that, you know, he can maybe purchase a used piece of equipment instead of a new piece of equipment.
I can tell you're thinking over there.
Yeah. I mean, I agree that it's probably a tool that would be worthwhile to have. I was thinking, you know, is that something we haven't had one all these years, but his rationale. You know, his write-up, makes sense. It could be utilized.
Mm-hmm.
But can you find one for half of that?
He does have other items listed below it in equipment, 57,300, heavy equipment attachments, chainsaws, tools, etc., including the hopper broom, brush kit cedar. So it was,
yeah,
other,
so, it was,
so there are other miscellaneous items.
Bryce had a number written down. It was what? He said
9,500 for brush kit cedar.
Is what he said during the conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I had to buy a used one for 3,000.
Yeah, I mean, that's just one example. You don't know what the condition of that is.
So
we
take $4,000 off, give them $5,000 to play with for that room.
Well, so
rent it.
Currently, are we sitting at 3.26% versus or 3.67%? How far are we trying
to? I think we're somewhere in between, right? Because we did John's adjustment, but we decided not to make the ROV adjustment.
Correct. Well, we did partially of the ROV adjustment.
So we're not quite down to the 3.2, but we're not all the way up at 3.6.
So where do we want to be? What are we trying to get?
What's the recommendation? Is that was?
I think the idea would be to have the budget at a place where we think it's a realistic budget for the town, regardless of what that number is.
Which we none know what it is until we know how much income we get.
Mm-hmm.
So. It's kind of a balancing thing. This is our budget. Last year we were at, what did we end up at? 1 point. It was under two, I think.
There was some percentage increase by.
But we were squished down to that.
Yeah.
So do we wait for the squish number? Or do we, are you confident that they're going to vote no on the first?
Doing the best we can.
Round?
Yeah. I think the doing the best we can with what we know now is the goal.
We don't want to be short on the registrar budget.
Like I said, I think are you comfortable with going with like the say 1,500 off each of the elections next year for the referendum? Because we have six. And if you make the hours on all of them the same as we discussed now, then you can take 1,500 by six off.
It's $9,000.
And you don't think that's much of a risk to do that?
No, as long as you leave six in there, but they're for a reduced amount, or you go with, I can take out 1.5, but that doesn't work. I think it's a reasonable risk.
Take 9 out of the registrar?
Conservative guy.
Instead of the 27? Is that what we're doing? Instead of 25?
I think that's reasonable.
I think that's reasonable.
If I could just say if Sandy wants to opine.
Yeah. Sandy there, Sandra.
While we're waiting for Sandy, that brings us to a 3.43% increase. Perfect.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want to be hearing.
Okay. Yeah.
So are we still deliberating on it while we're waiting for Sandra? Are we still deliberating on a possible reduction to highway?
I didn't leave it alone.
Leave it alone?
The highway?
Yeah.
Okay.
It may need to move.
That's fine.
I mean, it doesn't hurt to have
20
to buy something that you don't expect.
Well, agreed.
Here she is.
Things in that department, things do, you know.
Yeah,
it's hard to sell.
Well,
hi, Sandra.
Hi, sorry. I stepped away from the computer.
So we were talking about whether or not we felt it was safe if the Board of Selectmen agrees to hold the hours that they just voted on again for next year's referendum, beginning at 12 noon, would it be acceptable? You think the risk is acceptable to reduce each of those referenda by $1,500? Because you've budgeted currently for the full amount at the full hours.
And it would just be for the six referenda, Sandy. Sandra.
That's okay. The I'm a little bit torn with that. Because if, as Rodney predicts, the public backlash is there about reducing the hours, then the Board of Selectmen will want us to go back to full hours. I think reducing for maybe.
We made a decision. We're not going back.
We already made a motion for it.
I'm sorry?
We're not going to react to people's. We're not going to react. We made our decision.
Well, that's for this year.
Based on your recommendation, we made our decision.
For this year, but what about next year? Because we're now talking about
next budget. I understand.
Yeah. The spring.
There's spring next year. Spring 27, we're going to be having more referendums. So.
I wasn't the tough guy. I wanted to leave for the hours, but everyone else wanted to change it, so yeah. We'll change it.
No. I think if you could reduce 3 times 1,500.
Thank you.
All right, so we're down to 75.
Thank you.
45.
Stephanie, you got right. That?
Yep, updating that now. Okay, you have new number.
Looks good. What? You good? Yeah, I'm just trying to support the registrar.
Yeah. And again,
And that's based on 6 referendums.
Yeah.
It's so I think that's pretty overkill myself. But yeah. There's 7 of us here. I can vote no. Are we going to make a motion to adopt this, or we got more questions here?
I think Stephanie's working on the.
Stephanie's working on giving you a number, I think.
Yeah, we're at 3.48% increase now.
Is there any other recommendations on cuts?
3.48? Yeah.
We're creeping up into scary territory.
I am hopeful by the time, I don't think we'll have this information before we prepare the budget and send it to the Finance Committee, but before the Finance Committee has to publish the budget, we are hopeful that we will have the accurate rates for health insurance. We've currently budgeted at 15% increase, and we were told to budget for a 12 to 15% increase. We're hoping that comes down some. So there would be potentially a slight savings there.
And the school budgeted is 16 or 17.
I believe they budgeted 17%.
So how do you go lower than 15? Like, even if it came at the 15, there's like that.
You wouldn't make that change. The Finance Committee would make that change.
Sure. Yeah. Hopefully. Could go the other way.
Well, could the increase?
Yeah. You never know.
And also the average weighted because the selectmen's budget is about a third of the school's budget. So you're going to weight it accordingly. I think we're in like 4 and change at this point, 4.5, 4.6, somewhere up there to 8 altogether.
Yeah. It's a big number.
Mm-hmm. What smaller than 13%. Increase the taxes, which we hit folks with last
what's
year.
What's our total? Do you know our total health care bill? Isn't like a million something?
You have the detail in your budget worksheets, as much as detail as we could give you without disclosing personal information.
Right. In the meantime, is there any other suggestions, requests?
Thank you for coming.
I appreciate it.
Under personal services, right?
I believe that's correct. Yeah. I'm trying to find this day.
Number seven.
Number seven. So, I mean, it tells you right there that your total budget in areas
are medical. So, our medical is 574. Or wait, that's the expenditure so far. We budgeted, let's say, 800,000 for conversation. 2% of that is 16,000. So, the Board of Ed, if they're at 17 and they go down to 15, and they're three times as much, it would be in the area of 16 times 3 is 48 times 3 is 150,000
potentially.
Yeah. So we could be dropping down 16,000 on that if it's at 13.
And when do we anticipate that, Jim?
We think in about 2 weeks.
That's 16,000. I mean, it's
but not, we don't. But we don't know whether it's going to be 15. We don't know if it's going to be 15% or 12% or 14%. We don't know.
So what's the deadline for us presenting this to the finance committee?
They signed it by the 15th.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the insurance we're waiting for is the medical insurance.
Well, we've put in whatever we have to put in.
We budgeted at the high end of what they told us would be the range, which is 15% increase.
But here it says 20%.
That's a 23% change in value. But that's for the whole. That's for that whole budget. That's not just health insurance.
Got it. Thank you.
So we can't wait for that number to come in. In other words, because we have to. Here's the 15th. What day is it today?
But the finance committee has the ability to make that adjustment. When we provide them with the information, they have the ability to make that adjustment.
That's one of the reasons why sometimes it doesn't pay to start, you know, the referenda too early, just because of things like this, closer to the real number. We wait a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So,
are we good with this?
Who's comfortable with a 3.48?
Yes, I am.
I think it's a good number, especially given this.
I think more so than just even the number, I'm comfortable with the discussion that we've had about reductions where we thought that we could, but not overly reducing the budget to a point where the town can't operate.
If I thought we could get by on the first vote, I would say keep going, but who wants to take that chance?
Yes.
It's just, I don't know. I think we're fine. I don't think what is left is responsible spending, pushing.
Stephanie, could you please let us know the bottom line on the budget you have?
Yeah, it's important.
Yes. $9,811,497.
So do we want to make a motion on this, or do
so? You need to act on this, and you need to act on the capital budget.
I would make a motion that we approve the fiscal year 2027 budget at $9,811,497.
Bryce Harrison seconds that motion.
Any other discussion? I would make a request that we mention that specifically the Board of Selectmen's budget, because there's other budgets that we're going to be discussing here for them.
I would like to amend my motion. Not a motion.
I would like withdraw to my second.
I withdraw my motion. Right. I'd like to.
1 second.
Go ahead. Second.
Should we be. Does Jill have to run through these numbers? So should we just add the fact that, I mean, I thought she was going to be here, that upon her approval?
It's upon your approval. It has nothing to do with her approval.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. Just checking.
So I make a motion that we approve the town budget in the amount of $9,811,497.
Bryce seconds that motion.
For the Board of Selectmen.
Isn't it the Town Board of Selectmen budget?
Town Board of Selectmen budget?
Yes.
Okay. Can you just make that change?
you make an amendment. He seconds the amendment and
we'll get there.
Okay. I make a motion to approve the Board of Selectmen town budget. Is that good? $9,811,497.00.
I still second that.
Thank you, Bryce. Appreciate it, bud.
Is there any further discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Bob? Do I hear him?
We have a Bob. I don't know if it's the same Bob DeBeecher.
I don't think it's
Bob. Bob abstains.
All right. Then it's six yes and Bob
DeBeecher. Oh, Bob is
left. Bob left anyways. Okay.
Bob is gone. So one absent. Okay. Next is the capital budget for the Board of Selectmen.
We've got the town capital improvement plan, we've got the DOE capital improvement plan, and we've got I guess we have the joint, which are the two combined. That would be the town and DOE capital improvement plan that we would need to do next, right?
Do we approve these separately or all at once?
I think you can do it either way as long as the motion is clear.
Okay.
They're added together on the bottom. So Stephanie, can you
The last time we discussed this, it was just consider an act on capital budget. So actually I need to make a motion first to add the consider an act on capital budget to the agenda tonight as item 7B.
I second that motion.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Bob? Aye.
Oh, Bob's back. All right. Welcome back, Bob.
So 7B is to act on capital budget.
Who was the second on that, by the way? That was Tim. Okay, so it was David and Tim.
David and Tim were the motions. So we want to do the capital budget. Does Stephanie have it? Total on that force, or do we have new sheets?
I believe we did trading that we'd already done.
Both, we have new
sheets. So just as a reflection, we had the wrong sheet last time, so we had moved money that we already moved. So what we're looking at now is the most up to date sheet that we should have had in front of us during the last meeting.
Okay. Yeah, because it does show it shows the firehouse radio communications broken out properly.
And the one time cap.
It's in the back.
I believe the
back. Yep.
So yeah, it's the last half. So CI3.
These are the same.
Ross, correct me if I'm wrong, but the last time we talked about this as a finance committee, we were happy with this and had done a bunch of work to get it as well as it is.
Yes. And then we turned it over to folks to further refine.
And then turn it back over to you.
Yeah. Actually, you guys have the last say on it.
Right.
Before it goes to the voters.
Good work, guys.
It wasn't this one open. There were a couple of long discussions on this one.
Appreciate it.
Which
$15,000 Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate your work.
Thank you, Ashley. So, are we looking at the total ask for the capital improvement plan grand total to be 764447?
No.
That's not true, is it?
That's both DOE.
No, that's total. So the BOE subtotal and then the town project total are at the bottom of that. And then it takes into account the reallocation. The number is for 764,447,666.
That is the accurate right. number.
That's the header on that is slightly misleading.
Right.
Total. Gotcha.
So, yep. Yeah.
Thank you.
So did we move anything on this? Or is this missing?
Yeah, if you'd like, anyone
okay.
have any questions before we... All right, I'll make a motion to approve the capital improvement plan for a total of $764,447.66.
I will second.
Does David Mather?
Is there any further discussion? No, no further discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. That's 7 yes, 0 opposed. And do we have to do the capital improvement plan?
No, the three pages that were here, or do we have to do the bonding? No. The third page is bonding only.
No, you don't have to do
that. Okay.
So we're good with that?
Yes, you're done.
Congratulations, guys.
Oh,
yes.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you.
So Stephanie doing the finance report?
So now we're going to move on.
I don't know that she's seen them.
Okay. Perfect.
So seeing that's done, we're going to move on to number 8, the finance reports. Well, is there any questions? Is there anything out of line on those, Jim?
No, not that I saw. Not that the finance director called out.
You need another minute to look at these down there?
Yeah, I'm just working on a question. Okay. And then specifically just curious on probate, I suppose, since I don't understand the nature of it. Yeah. It looks like it's like 90% expended with 635 left in budget.
So isn't that a one-time expense?
I suspect it's very similar to this year where we had to estimate what the charges were going to be, and there's probably already paid it, and that's what's allowed to
okay. the account.
Or if I remember, I don't think it's always been 9% that we paid for early or something like that.
Yeah, I just don't, you know.
So, yeah, no, I know. Yeah, getting ahead. Sorry.
Thank you for coming, Ross.
Thank you. Appreciate your help.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ross.
You and do what I have to?
Yes. They tell you at our next meeting for the finance committee.
Mm-hmm. Good night.
Oh, right. Good night. Good
night.
Okay. Is any other questions from Bryce?
Not for me.
Good.
Jim, what questions were you predicting?
I actually didn't have the time to look at this today. I ended up working on that Parks and Rec grant again. They wanted a bunch more information.
Priorities, okay. I'll take that.
Nothing on the task collector. Good. Any questions?
Nope.
Then we're going to move on to consider an act on budget transfers.
I don't know if there's any here you have to act on.
Town building.
$4,705.
What's the limit? It's
$2,000.
Yeah. No, we're going to do
is that. Is that a five at the end or is that a zero?
I think it's a zero. With a
I think line. It's a zero with a line.
Okay.
Town building.
I will make a motion to approve the town building operation transfer of $4,700 from equipment to overtime.
Tim Sadler seconds.
Any other discussion?
David and Tim.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. That's 7 approved, 0 opposed.
Do we want to sign this so we don't have to wait for?
No, I just check your names off, sign okay. it, and send it in.
Perfect.
Let's move on to number 10. Is it getting late enough that we want to push some of these off that we can just blast on?
Now, this is the easy part.
Okay. Number 10, A, February 3rd, 2026.
We'll make a motion, David, approve the meeting minutes from February 3rd, 2026 at 6:30 p.m. as presented.
Bryce, second.
Is there any discussion?
I just want to point out something that it was, let's see. On the last page, page 404, for January 13, we move, January 21 minutes, we move to table those.
Right.
And I don't think we've ever acted on those.
We need those to come back. We didn't have the right people in the room to get a majority.
We only had three.
We only had three. That's right.
Okay.
Then I have an editorial on page 1, 5A. There's three T's and a point. And I'm not sure that word. But word doesn't catch it because it's all capital letters.
Yep. Is that why?
Yeah.
You can turn that off
like
by setting
proper noun or acronym.
Yeah,
Tier
3
does an acronym, right?
No.
Any other discussion? All in favor? Aye.
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 I'm staying a little bit here.
I think Bob has to abstain. You weren't. Or, no, he was on Zoom. Never mind. No, nope, thank you. Okay. So that's 5 yes, 2 abstain. Next, February 5th.
David will make a motion to approve the Thursday, February 5th meeting minutes from 6 p.m. As presented.
Sadler seconds.
Whose idea was it to have that long of me?
I'd say that. Accomplished a lot, budgets. An effective board.
Is there any discussion? Is there any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 I'm abstaining. Can you come to any meetings?
6 yes, and the other
got fired.
I'm absent from
the He's the last one.
Now for the next one, February 10th.
I'll make a motion to approve the February 10th, 2026, 6 p.m. meeting minute as presented.
Bryce seconds.
Is there any discussion? That's on the first.
The captain has a style.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Or is there discussion still?
No,
right. All in favor?
I'm just looking to make sure I was here.
Aye.
Oh, okay. Aye.
You're here now.
Abstain.
Bob abstains.
Bob and Gwen are both abstaining.
We've got 5 yes, and Bob and Gwen are abstaining. Now we move on to February 10th again.
Make a motion to approve February 10th budget workshop number 5 meeting minutes as presented.
Sadler seconds.
Is there any discussion? All in favor? Or are we still reading?
I'm good.
Bryce always looks so. I'm still reading.
I'm still reading. I read them too. Yeah. I prepared.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That's 6 yes and 1 abstain.
Yes. When? Abstains.
Abstain.
Bob abstains. 2 abstains. I'm sorry.
Same day.
But he said the minutes say he was present via Zoom.
Let's say he was here.
It doesn't mean he was having trouble with.
Yeah, I think he was in the problem.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Well, Bob and Gwen will abstain. That's 5 yes.
So pass.
2 abstain. Yep. Thank you. Now we move on to the town administrator's report.
So a couple of things first that I wanted to share with you that are not in the report because it's kind of out off the press information. I did receive earlier today the demographic information from STV that we had commissioned them for in that townwide facility study. So I'm actually going to get that out to the board as soon as I can so that you have it. And then the other thing is, you know,
I'm sorry, what was the demographic?
That was the demographic info for school student population.
Oh, all right.
So that is complete. It came to my inbox this afternoon, and I will be distributing that. Either I'll do it personally or one of the staff will. The other thing is I got a check today from Chief Dixon in the amount of $1,500 when we repurposed the old UTV and purchased a new UTV for the fire department. There was a tank and pump that were not needed by any town agency and not utilized any longer by the fire department. So they did embark on a mission to sell that, and they were able to get $1,500 for it.
Okay.
And so they asked me to let you guys know that and pass the check on to the finance department. So you can see I have the check in my hand.
And I definitely want to make a comment on the Unified Command Emergency Operations Center at the Town Hall. Jim and Kathy both appeared here on Saturday.
Sunday. We had a meeting online on Saturday.
Yeah, at 5 o'clock, I think it was.
5 p.m. Yep.
So I came and sat in the meeting, and they both stayed till 11 p.m. And fortunately, there was no actual emergencies popping up. You know, with the wind, they were expecting, which this is mandatory too, isn't it? For the most part, not.
No, it's not mandatory. You know, we decide when we think we need to man the emergency operations center, and I got here around 4:30 on Sunday. Kathy showed up shortly after me. And she left a little before I did. She left around 11. I left around 11:30. And, you know, we stayed through the storm so that we could assist the fire department. It's really important if we start having high winds and we have trees and wires coming down that we report those to Eversource. It's especially important for us to track closed roads. That's a real safety concern, especially if there's no back door. You know, if a road is a dead end and you can only get in it from one way, and a road happens to be cut off because of power lines down and trees down, it's really important for us to be able to manage that. So,
and if they get a 911 call, they're going to make sure the town trucks plow the right way there or whatever. So there's a lot of situations that can
and arise. We were here prior to 8 o'clock in the morning on Monday and stayed for the duration of the day.
Thank you, Jim and Kathy.
Thank you.
And the rest of the staff was working from home.
Yeah. Except for the plow guys. We haven't figured out how they can do that yet.
we're trying now. We're looking forward to AI.
Extended cleanup from that storm. So shortly before you passed me on that Tuesday, don't know if you remember that.
I do, yes.
Okay. So shortly before you passed me, highway was here in the center of town, pushing banks back, but it really only looked like they were pushing snow. It was coming back right back to where it was, but they were riding the plow on the road. So it seems like it was less effective than maybe the intent was, and also doing damage to the town equipment by just riding the plow onto the dry pavement.
Sharpening the blades kind of thing?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I noticed that. I mean, you spent more time outside that day probably than I did.
Sure.
So,
the point of just be aware of.
Thank you.
If they're doing that around town, other people may start to notice, and especially if it damages equipment, they have to repair it at a later date.
I don't know how they judge once you put the plow on if there's, you know, the drifts, because there was a lot of snow drifts and stuff.
Well, there was, but that day it started melting pretty quick. It so did. The snow that they were pushing back actually was going up and then riding right back down to where it was.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. They were thinking about pushing it further.
Yeah,
they were pushing it further back than where it actually was.
If we had a wing plow, that would have been perfect.
Right? Yeah. New Hampshire, you know, I'm used to them pushing it back if they're going to push it back, but you know, really. The ability to push it back is minimal when the snow's that high.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the mailbox complaints we'd get with a wing plow?
I think, David, you should be a plow guy.
So, anyways,
we could arrange that.
I think we found David's second calling.
I don't have CDLs.
He's going to do it by hand.
We can do that.
He doesn't drive, he only runs.
So,
Jim, I have a question.
That Jimmy
regarding Carl Price and his plan that you worked with him regarding the odor. What was that plan?
So we actually held a meeting on site in front of Price's power equipment. And we had a number of experts on location, and that included, I'm not an expert, but I was there. Bob Mora, as the chairman of the sewer commission, was present. We had staff from our town engineering firm. We had staff there from the folks that do the bioxide. And we had staff there from F.R. Mahoney, who does repairs to the system, especially the grinder pumps. And they had several staff members there. And the bioxide station had recently been repaired. On site also with us were representatives from Price's. There were representatives there from the veterinary hospital. And as I said, the bioxide station had recently been repaired, and there was absolutely no odor. So what that demonstrated to us is that when the bioxide station is operating as it should, that the odor is controlled. And we talked about a number of things and the recommendations that came out of that meeting, which will be shared with the sewer authority for their consideration and hopeful approval so that we can move forward on some permanent fixes. Would be to some of the stuff was simple, right? One of the things we learned is that bioxide crystallizes at 4 degrees Fahrenheit, and we had quite a bit of cold weather, and so the bioxide probably wasn't flowing as it should. So there was a simple recommendation to insulate the bioxide shed and put some electric strip heat in there to keep the temperature warm enough so that it doesn't crystallize. F.R. Mahoney's suggestion was where the first manhole is over by Georgina's, that it goes from a force main to a gravity feed. There's a lot of turbulence in that effluent, and that releases hydrogen sulfide gas, which is the odor that we all smell. And so their recommendation is to place a charcoal filter on that catch basin. The filter media would be changed probably once every 1 or 2 years. They're working on getting us a price on that. The other recommendation that came out was to probably at the manhole in front of prices to put a hydrogen sulfide meter. And those hydrogen sulfide meters, it would come at a monthly rental cost of around $500 a month to the sewer authority. That would not be a cost to the Board of Selectmen or the town budget. That would be specifically to the sewer authority. They change those out every month, so because they have to be able to essentially breathe and reset. It would be radio controlled, so it sends signals back to the company that's already managing our bioxide, and they could make adjustments to the bioxide up or down based on a minimum set point of probably around 2 parts per million of hydrogen sulfide. The other advantage that comes to this, this is probably more, way more information than you wanted, Bob, but I'm just trying to be thorough. Hydrogen sulfide also turns into sulfuric acid. The sulfuric acid is not, does not have a positive effect on our infrastructure, in particular the concrete and the metal. So by injecting the bioxide, what it does is it allows the enzymes that are in the effluent to essentially eat that bioxide mass and not create the hydrogen sulfide, which then converts into sulfuric acid. So our infrastructure with regard to concrete and metal structures will last longer.
Great.
Hydrogen sulfide itself is pretty potent too.
Yeah.
At low parts per million, you can
right.
inhale and had negative effects.
And that's why they would, you know, recommend the set point at 1 or 2 parts per million.
Yeah. Which is very low.
It's very low. Yeah.
That's great. What if, I'm sure Carl and Jim were happy with the attention you gave it.
Yeah, you know, and one of the things that we learned that we just, you know, didn't have a sense of before is that when the bioxide station is working properly, it actually works. It eliminates the odor. You know, one of the questions that had been asked by the sewer authority before is, you know, why don't we just put sealed catch basin covers? Well, when you get all these experts and you ask these questions, if you put sealed catch basin covers in, which happens is you pressurize the air in the system, and then it just forces it out the vent stacks in the buildings rather than allowing it to vent naturally through the catch basin covers.
Jim, I think this is an excellent example of the kind of work you and your staff do and should be made available as results to the public.
Thank you, Bob.
I agree, Bob. Is there any other comments or questions on the report?
Please just thank you, Jim, for putting this together on a monthly basis. It's helpful to see this written down and be able to discuss it.
Yeah,
good. Yeah. Listen, I'm glad to do it. And this is, you know, I will tell you that we probably could give you 3 pages, but we really try to highlight on the things that I think are. You know, really relevant and most important, you know.
We appreciate that too.
And I think, you know, we've gotten some positive feedback from the public before on this. They appreciate it too. So
when are you gonna start putting the bad stuff on?
Just give that to you, Rod. Just give you the bad.
We can adjourn the meeting to get into that.
Make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Who's gonna make a motion?
I just did.
Oh.
Bryce seconds the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Bob, very good. That's 7 yes. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you, everyone.